told me to pray for power. Whatever which way, we've got it. Huh? I remember speaking at a missionary prayer meeting up in Kenilworth, New Jersey. It's a monthly CMML prayer meeting. And George Sharp is now home with the Lord, but he tells every missionary that goes there to keep your eyes on John Jeffers. And I got up to speak, and I told the people that George Sharp had told me something that my dad never told me. He told me to keep my eyes on John Jeffers, but my dad always told me to keep my eyes on the Lord. The reason for keeping your eyes on John Jeffers was he sits in the second pew, and he's got a card, and on the card it says, "Sit down." That's what it says. Because you're only allowed 5 minutes. If you don't sit down, then the schedule's all off. But that's why he tells me, keep your eye on John Jeffers. I'm very glad to be back again. It's been a long time, I guess. It seems a long time to me. You probably know when it was better than I. But I never forget you, and glad to see Doug and Betty, too. And a few times we've talked on the phone, and I'm sorry that you didn't know about my dad. I thought everybody did. But I guess that's my mistake, and I apologize, but appreciate all your prayers. And I was encouraged to know that you never forgot us. And it was a very, very difficult time. It was like 2 months I was in Ireland, there for 6 weeks, and then back, and then shortly, two weeks later, back again. And he finally died, and it was hard to watch him in the last days. And the message that I was going to share with you tonight, I can't because the time is not sufficient. So I'm going to share something else with you. But I'll keep it for another time. But the thing that I have learned is we should never take people for granted. We should never assume that everything's fine. We should never reach the conclusion by the look of a person's face or the way they dress that everything is fine and dandy, because it may not be. And I thought my dad was such a spiritual man that I forgot sometimes to pray for his spiritual warfare. I thought of the physical sufferings, and I almost forgot about the spiritual sufferings. And if you go, you'll find that the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, the physical sufferings of the Lord Jesus, were nothing in comparison to the soul agonies of the Lord Jesus in Gethsemane, in Gabbatha, in Golgotha. The sufferings of the Lord Jesus and the soul agonies of the Lord Jesus is worth consideration. And I learned that lesson. And I've learned another lesson. People are occupied, and I want to be occupied with the Lord Jesus tonight and come in your Christmas time. And I forget it's Christmas because I go and I forget sometimes that it's near Christmas or Easter. I don't know what's wrong with me these days. I guess it's the way I travel. I go to India in January, and it's like summertime. And then I come back, and I think, I'm coming near the end of August, and it's winter starting, and it's only summer that's starting, and I get all confused. And I go, people want a Christmas message, and I don't have too many Christmas messages, and I like to share what's on my heart sometimes. But I'm going to speak about the person of the Lord Jesus, and the reason for that is this, that many people are occupied with other things today, and they're not occupied with the person of the Lord Jesus. Now, before I get started, in case I get carried away, let us read something from the Word of God, and then we continue. Matthew chapter 1. It's a well-known story. It's a story, a Christmas story. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And you know that the angels had brought good tidings of great joy that there's going to be peace for everyone. Verse 21 of Matthew 1. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she'll bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Chapter 2, for the sake of time. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the home and into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. The Lord will add a blessing upon the public reading of his very own precious word. I guess I come here because I even don't have time to say all that I'd like to say on these words that I've said tonight. But I think these days, and I've learned it from, I guess, my experience with my dad, how good it is to be ready. We don't know who's to be next. We don't know the next one. And we've heard of people here being injured, and we've heard of those, and missionaries will send us letters. Do you know something? That each of us have got prayer requests what we cannot share with each other. Missionaries have prayer requests and they cannot put it in writing. There are things that are going on in our lives, my life and your life, and you look at me and you form an opinion and I smile and I'm pretty well dressed and maybe I look healthy, I don't know, but you can form an opinion. And you could be wrong. You could reach that assumption and assume the wrong thing. And how we need to pray for one another and just don't take that person for granted, especially elders in the assembly or the preacher that stands at the podium. Don't take them for granted. They need prayers. Preachers need prayers probably every bit as much as anyone else in this world. And we're coming up to Christmas time and people are occupied. Do you know that at Christmas time there's going to be more ungodly people occupied with Christmas than there are Christians? Do you know that? There will be millions and millions and millions, even in communist countries, who have no idea they will be celebrating Christmas. There will be the programs, the festivities, the tinsel and the lights. They will be dancing. There will be drinking. There will be drugs. There will be everything. And many people who know not God will celebrate Christmas. But praise God, there are more who remember the Lord Jesus on a Sunday morning in this world than Christmas. Did you know that? Throughout the world, as I travel, there are gatherings of God's people all over this world who gather on the first day of the week to remember the Lord in breaking bread and drinking wine. So I trust that this Christmas, as we gather on Christmas morning, that you and I will seek to see him in all his beauty and glory. See him in his majesty before he came to a manger. See him crowned with crowns of glory, and see him then with a crown of thorns. But let us seek to see him. And as we tear open the packages and we take the gifts, let us thank God afresh for the greatest gift that cost us nothing, the greatest gift that the world has ever seen, the gift of eternal life found only in a man called Jesus Christ. God gave his Son. God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. The Lord Jesus willingly came to complete the will of his Father. He had the delight, a joy, in doing what his Father asked him to do. And in doing that, he gave us the greatest gift that anyone could have, and that is the gift of eternal life. Jesus was born to die. Die he did. The tomb is empty. The throne is filled. Jesus is alive, and we've got salvation. Now, many people don't fully grasp the simplicity of salvation. There are many people who make professions. We need to be sure that we're occupied with the person of the Lord Jesus. We need to go round the foundations and be sure that I just don't have a head knowledge of the Lord Jesus, of the Christmas story and the Easter story, that I've got something not up here but in my heart. I was preaching here in Virginia this year, and it came to the Monday night. I preached on the Sunday night, and it came to the Monday night. And a dear lady who has been 50 years in assembly fellowship here in Virginia, she said to me on the Monday night, she said, "You know, I don't come out any other night other than Sundays." And she says, "You better be good." That's just the way she said it. "Well," I says, "by the help of God, I'll do what I can." She was there Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. I thought, am I that good? Well, I know it's not me. I know it's the Lord. And at that time, I said to, which I shouldn't say, and I make the mistake sometimes, and I said, "You know, when I'm preaching the gospel, I get a little bit excited, and I tell the people, you know, I'm on 24-hour duty. If you're under conviction of sin, if you can't sleep, you call me anytime. You want to talk to me during the day, call me. You know where I am. I'm at the chapel. I'm in the little apartment there. Just you call me." And so this young lady said to me, she said, "My boyfriend would love to come, but he can't. You see, it's a summertime, and it's so hot." And it was a hot summer that we had. "And he works in an ice factory, and he's working overtime. There's such a demand for ice. He can't get off, and he can't get to the meeting. He would like to talk to you." I said, "Wow, you think he could call me on the telephone?" "Well, it's hard. He hardly gets a break." "Well," she said, "could he come and see you at 20 past 11? Would you be sleeping?" I said, "Well, I don't think so. If he's coming, I'll try and stay up." "Well, he could probably be here by quarter to 12. Would that be all right?" I said, "Probably. Okay." So I got a call at a quarter past 12 or 20 or 11 or quarter 20 past 11. He said, "You know something, he can't make it. You see, I said I was on a 24-hour service, 24-hour duty. You come anytime." Well, I guess I mean that. If somebody is really sincere and under conviction and in deep trouble, sure. So I get a call. "Well, he can't come. He can't make it for a quarter to 12. He has to work to 2. Would 2 o'clock be all right?" I said, "Well, will you be still awake, do you think?" I said, well, "that's a chance." "Well, it's probably be 2:30. And then, you see, by the time he stops at 2 and then gets ready, and then he has to drive there, it would probably be a quarter to 3. You think I'll be all right? Would you be still awake?" I said, "Well, I don't know. That's a chance you have to take." Anyway, the next night the boy came. He didn't come that night. I didn't talk to him. But the next night he turned up. He didn't have to work. He thought he did, and he got off. He came to the meeting, and he accepted Christ as the Savior that night. He's still going on for God, baptized. And not only that, he's led his young friend to the Lord too. But then at that time, as I came back out to the foyer, a lady called me over, 50 years in fellowship. She said to me, "I was saved today." I said, "What?" She said, "I was saved today." I said, "But you've been in fellowship for all these years. And your husband, he's a leader." She said, "Well, I thought I had it, but I didn't have the real thing. I knew all about it, I knew the story, but I didn't really have salvation. Now, I didn't want to tell anybody. And I said to her, I won't tell anybody. You'll have to tell them. I was shocked. And this Christmas time, let us get beyond the festivities. And let us really see Jesus. See, let me tell you something. Everybody is concerned and anxious and looking for the end. Everybody is so anxious about the Y2K. My wife's not a computer kind of whiz. But I guess when I came to this country way back in 1981, right there I got a computer as a toy, and it just went on and on and on. And she said to me, what's Y2K? Why is everybody so excited? So I tried to explain to her a little bit. But everybody's anxious about the Y2K and getting prepared. But Christian, let me tell you this, forget about it. We may never see the year 2000. Let us be looking for the Lord Jesus. Let us be looking for the return. When's the last time I prayed, even so come, Lord Jesus? The YTK shouldn't be a problem. Now, I'm not saying don't be concerned if you're in that kind of a business. But there's a man, and he went overboard in Canada, and he gathered up all the goods, and he dug a hole in the ground, and he reinforced it with concrete and steel and whatnot. And he put in, I think he may have put some of that Korean food in there, like kimchi. I don't know if you know, but it's the rotten cabbage and the hot peppers, and it ferments, you know. But he put all in, he stored it all in there and under the ground, and he covered it, and he's all ready. Bottles of water and whatnot. But I don't know what happened, but it started to gas. And the next thing, there was an explosion, and it just about blew his house down. So be careful what you're preparing for. But the best thing to prepare is for the rapture, for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Y2K doesn't bother me one bit. In fact, I enjoy it. I'll tell you why. I travel, and other preachers travel. Now, I don't know if other preachers look at it from my point of view, but I look at it from this point of view. I'm happy with the year 2000 coming because nobody wants to travel. And they're giving away almost free seats in airliners. And you'll get hotels for next to nothing. They're asking you to come and stay in our hotel. It's better to have a little than nothing. And so it's good from that point of view. And the year 2000's coming. And the news reporters have said that in 999 it was the same. They were expecting a catastrophe. They were expecting the end of the world. But you see, these people who are reporting it, and the people back then didn't know their Bible, because it couldn't have happened 999. But it could happen any time now. And let me tell you what I've said before. I guess I'm going into another message now, but it's all in my mind. I got to tell you it. It's not as some of us think. Now, you tell me, really, have you thought like this? We haven't really stopped to think. We think that God's just going to waken up someday, and God's going to say, this is it. Okay, Lord. Okay, son. Go back for your church. It's just going to waken. It's going to just go. This is it. I'm going to do it now. In eternity past, God has it planned. God knows the day, the year, the month, the second that the Lord's going to appear in the earth. It's all planned already. He knows. You know who else knows? The Lord Jesus. Because there's nothing that the Father knows that is hid from His Son and the Holy Spirit. And so, at any minute now, even as I talk, I'm sure that the Lord Jesus could appear, even now, even this minute. When's the last time I lived in the realization that that is a fact that is about to happen at any minute? Here was a man, Herod the king. And this man, it says, he was troubled. Herod the king had heard these things. He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, we're living in a time right now, and many hearts are troubled. People are troubled. but they're troubled for the wrong reason. They're more concerned about themselves and what's going to happen to me than they are in thanking God for the life that they've got and the eternal life that they can have. And it says that he was troubled, and they gathered the chief priests and the people together and demanded of them where Christ should be born. Why was he so interested where Christ would be born? It was for his own benefit. He was a man who wanted power and authority and recognition. And that is a tool that is used of Satan today, even amidst God's people. It happens amidst God's people. And here's a man, his heart was troubled. He demanded where Christ should be born. Now, his motive was wrong. The words sound good, but his heart was not right. And here he has a record of Scripture. He has a copy of the Word of God. There is no excuse. He read the words of the prophet. Now, many people are hearing today and have read today about the rapture. It's not a biblical word. The second coming of the Lord Jesus, they read about it, but they don't believe it. And they're not looking forward to it. And here's this man, and he asked these people a question. And wise men, it doesn't say three, as some people would suggest. It could be 300, I don't know. But they come, and he inquires of them where Christ should be born. And then he says, when you find him, go and search diligently for the young man. I'm standing before you tonight, and I'm asking you at this Christmas period, seek to see Jesus amidst all the programs and festivities, and I mean it from my heart, for your good and for the glory of the Lord. With this man, Herod, he had not the good motive in mind. He wanted to put to death the person of the Lord Jesus because he wanted to be king. Herod wanted to be king. He wanted the power. He wanted the authority. He wanted the recognition. Fool. You see, he could never have taken the life of the Lord Jesus. For the Lord Jesus could say, couldn't he, when he prayed in that intercessory prayer, and again in John chapter 13, John 13, John 17, Jesus knew that his hour was come. He could pray, Father, mine hour is come. Now glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. There was a time for his death. When the hour was come, there's a time for his coming again. Now, we were told, and there was prophetic statements, and we could almost time it to these things that would happen. We can almost time the death of the Lord Jesus and some of the prophetic things like the millennium reign of Christ. But the coming of the Lord Jesus, the second coming of the Lord Jesus, no one has a clue, an idea. And people would try to make money in selling books, prophesizing when Jesus Christ will come the second time. If God had wanted us to know more about the second coming, he would have made it very clear. The only thing we know is this: he's coming. And he's coming for sure. He's coming himself. He said, I will come again. The first time in the first person singular in John 14, Jesus said, I will come again. First mention of it. And then it says that he will come as a thief in the night. No warning. Because a thief never calls you and tells you, I'm coming now. You don't get an email from him, or you don't get a letter from him. He comes when you're least expecting him. Well, as I travel, I try to think, now, when is a thief going to come? You know that? When I stay, ever stay down, I think, when is a thief likely to try? They say that a thief is most likely to try and break into your home around 2 a.m. in the morning. You know why? Most people are still in a deep sleep at that time. So that's the time when I think. When you get to about 4 o'clock, you're almost safe. People are starting to get awake. People start getting ready. Some people wake early in the morning. So between 2 o'clock, but 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock. So here was a man, and he had the wrong motive. But first of all, we see here, there was a proclamation. The angels appeared, and they said about Mary that she would bring forth a child and call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sin. I don't think there has anything said by God himself, whether through prophets or angels, that hasn't been fulfilled. And the only other thing waiting to be fulfilled, or the next thing waiting to be fulfilled, is the coming of the Lord Jesus to the earth. There's nothing now to prevent that happening. Nothing. So that's why I stand before you. My father died. People ask me, what did you get? Nothing. I don't know how much my father had. I know he didn't have much money. All I know, he had a lot of friends. All I said to my dad was, Dad, all I want is your Bible and your books. That's all I want. And that's all I got. He didn't own his own house. He rented it from the state. He had an old car, and somebody sold it for him for $300. And he thought he got a good deal. He worked for over 40 years in the aircraft factory. Now, I don't know what he did with his money. It cost me a lot of money to go over there. 3 airfares to Ireland. Naomi, Mary and me. And then for Mary and I to go back a second time. And people back in Ireland would say, did your dad leave a will? I said, I don't know. I'm not interested. I have no idea of anything about my father's situation before he died, other than spiritual. I sat at his bedside, we talked about the Lord, talked about the sufferings of Job, talked about what it's like to go from here to there, that we talked about. Some of my cousins said, did you get anything? And I've said to my wife so many times, that's not my concern. That's not my concern. You see, everything is God's anyway. And I came into this world with nothing, and I'm sure not taking anything out. So right now, I just want to get by. And right now, I've been occupied in these last few weeks of the Lord coming for me or me going to be with him. I drive on these busy roads. I go to India, Romania, Korea, Japan, and Italy, and these other places, and I don't know yet how near I have come to death, but I know I have on these airlines. I remember up in the air one time in the midst of an electric storm, and up there I said, Lord, you get me down and I'll do everything you want me to do. Yes, I came down. And I think that I would like to go the way my dad went. Now, something tells me he must have been good to the Lord's servants. When I got there 30 minutes before the funeral service started, 20 minutes maybe, they were already standing around the walls of the building, of the gospel hall, from the platform right around to the back. Of course, they had the front pews for the family. And someone told me afterwards that the building held 250 people. And they said there was as many outside as there was inside. And for Belfast, not on a Saturday morning, but on a Monday morning at 10:30, that was a lot of people. Harold Paisley was there. Jim Flanagan was there. And some of these other men that you would read of in what the Bible teaches in those set of books written by brethren, writers. You can get them from Summa Mimel or Gospel Folio Press or John Ritchie's. I have a set. Most of the men I know. And I counted, although, I don't know, I couldn't get seeing everybody, but I counted at least 8 of the Lord's servants. And those 2 I mentioned, some of you know because they've been over here, and Harold Paisley's still here. But those are the number that I shook hands and thanked them for coming to my dad's funeral. And someone said at Thanksgiving at the Warrenville Bible Chapel where I fellowship, and again I think of Herod and what he wanted. One young man said, you know, I'm thankful this Thanksgiving for all that God gave me. And he went over a number of things that God had given him. And one young man, I wanted to say it, but being a humble man and kind of proud of my humility, I never said it. But one young man stood up and he said, I want to thank God that he didn't give me everything I wanted. And he said that. I wanted to say that. Because sometimes there's things that happen in our life and they're better for us. And I said at the very end of the meeting, being the last one to speak, I want to say this Thanksgiving Day, that I am thankful that my father died because he's better off. He's no longer poor, he's rich. He's with the Lord. With Betty's dad, mom, and others who you know who have gone before, left this world of doom and gloom. And I guess the last words to my dad was, Dad, I don't know what takes place between here and there, but I only know this. It's got to be very far better. I think that the fear of the unknown is what gives us concern. I said, Dad, I'm not sure what takes place, but I think maybe the angel just come along. You believe in guardian angels? I was asked that question last night by a man who was hit with a car the night before, coming from the funeral of the girl, the young girl that was killed with a deer just out there near Crewe, 35 years of age, the only child of a father. And this dear brother said, what car? He's okay. Just come out with it, just his car to ride off, gone. All he came out was a few scratches on his arm, not from the accident, from the airbag. But you know something? I said, Dad, I'm not sure, and I can't be dogmatic, but it says in Luke 16 that the angels carried Lazarus into Abraham's bosom. No mention of the Lord. But when we go to Acts chapter 7, it says that Stephen, as they're stoning him to death, he sees the Lord standing. So maybe the angels do just come. And we're comforted with the presence of the Lord Jesus. And maybe they just escort us right into the person of the Lord Jesus, to his very presence, where he's standing, just waiting to receive us. Come. Well done, good and faithful servant. May this be a joyous Christmas for all of us. It will be a better Christmas if the Lord comes. And if there's one in the meeting here not yet saved, don't make it the worst Christmas of your life. Make it the best. And accept the best gift that anyone can receive, the gift of eternal life found in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thee and speak to Thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, O God, for the Lord Jesus who loved us and gave Himself for us. And we had asked Thee, O God, at this season, we would be occupied with the person of the Lord Jesus, not just on the 25th of December, but every day until He comes. May we be watching and waiting for the imminent return of the lovely man of Calvary. May we be looking forward to seeing Him face to face. In the meanwhile, Father, we ask indeed that we would have victory day by day, and that indeed we would be occupied with the person of the Lord Jesus, and that we would consider one another and the problems that we have and the suffering that we have and the trials. Father, for this assembly, we give Thee thanks. We thank Thee, Father, for bringing us together, for giving us this wonderful relationship in the family of God. We just give Thee thanks. Heart us now with Thy blessing, and keep us in Thy love, for we ask it in the Savior's wonderful name. Amen. Could I close with a verse of a hymn? I've gone a little over time, sure you forgive me, but I didn't intend to speak that long. It's not too far over time. I think that clock's fast anyway. 142. And I want to sing this. I don't want to sing it, but we want to sing it because you're going to hear this a lot. And sometimes we hear Christmas carols so much that we don't really stop to think of the words. So in the midst of the programs and festivities, when unsaved people are singing this wonderful carol, let us sing it with meaning from our heart. O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. That's what we are in Christ. O come ye to Bethlehem, come and listen to this, behold Him, come and see Him. All glory in the highest, and then these words, O come let us adore Him, O come let us adore Him, O come let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Beautiful carol, but people hardly ever stop to think of these beautiful words. And may we experience that, not only on the 25th, but every day. Oh, come, let us adore Him. We'll sing the first and the last verses only of 142. Thank you.